Morning, everybody. How you doing? Good. Just getting ready for the Chargers. Pretty much whatever era you watch with this team, they've been very successful throughout the course of the year. Look at their defense, and one of the things that you notice right off the bat is the volume of giveaways that they've been able to create, and it's a zone blitz team, so they'll bring combinations of blitzers and typically play zone behind it, whether it's a three deep zone, primarily three deep zone, but sometimes you get a mixture of a couple other things, and they do it from a lot of different looks, and they've got very effective rushers when they do bring them. So that's going to be something that we're going to have to deal with, both in the passing game and the running game, and the pressure that they've been able to put on quarterbacks, been successful in generating sacks as well. That's led to some key turnovers. And really, when you look at the Kansas City game, the score's fairly lopsided, and most of those are the result of turnovers that they were able to generate. I've been happy with the way the offense has operated the last two games and going 10 games with a turnover and being able to get to the point now where we've had two in a row here without having a turnover. So, or nine, then two. So that's been something that we've improved on, something that's going to be very important again this weekend. Their offense, doesn't matter who you want to talk about, they can produce, they can score. I think one of the things that jumps out at you outside of Rivers' quarterback rating and his number of TDs to interceptions is the volume of plays that they've had of 16 or more yards. Almost 20% of all their pass plays go for 16-plus yards. They've done a nice job protecting the football. They've done a nice job in terms of sacks allowed. And give it to either the backs or the fullbacks, and both those guys can hurt you in the running game. On special teams, good coverage units, good skill guys, and facing Sproles. Over the years, he can take it straight ahead and beat you with the speed that way, or he can change directions, go the wide field, and create some problems in that area as well. So it's a challenge. It's a big challenge against a good team. That's the other thing that I really like that they've done is not have very many penalties, and I think that's helped them as well. So with that, open up to questions.
What's the latest on Brodnie Poole? What's his status?
It's not looking very positive, so I have more information for you, but he's definitely not going to play this weekend, and chance he won't be playing again this year. So.
How about Kenyon Coleman and Cameron?
I think we got a shot with both those guys. That's going to have to see how the week goes and see how it plays out.
The team?
Yeah, he's here. Yep.
Does he have to consider not playing again?
I think with that, Tony, it's got to first move through this part of the decision making process and get all the information and see where we are, and then you really discuss moving forward at a later point. All right. Well, there's a couple different options. Mike Adams has played there quite a bit. Mike Furry's played there quite a bit. Bubba Ventrone, Hank's played there at different points throughout his career and throughout his time here as well. So there's some different combinations that we have.
Could you be comfortable putting Brandon back in the starting role if you needed Mike at safety?
Yeah. And situations change each week, just because someone moves out of the starting role for a little while doesn't mean they can't move back in and play at a higher level than they've been playing and continue to improve.
Eric, as a coach, is it difficult to sit down with a kid, but as young as Brodnie, and look at him and say you might have to quit playing?
As I said, we haven't talked about the long-term. That discussion, I think, is a discussion for a later time period. You never want to have a conversation about injuries with anybody, but unfortunately it's something that is a reality, and it's never a fun conversation, but they're always important.
Have you filled that vacancy on your roster?
We haven't done anything yet. Like I said, this is something that we're still moving forward on.
Aaron, what happened on the play Brogdon was hurt?
In terms of the specific thing, I'm not I'm not really sure in terms of saying what, like what.
Helmet collision, or did someone put a knee to his head, or what happened?
I don't think it was a knee. I think, I can't remember if it was actually helmet to helmet or whether it was helmet to some other pad. I'm not totally sure.
The last time he was credited with the tackle was on the Blake Coleman was hurt. Was that when it happened?
Again, Marla, I'm not exactly sure when the timeline was.
One of the things that the league is talking about doing is practicing without helmets. How would that help this problem, and how would you feel about practicing without helmets?
You know, Tony, I haven't really thought about it. I think a lot of those decisions the league spends a ton of time on. Consult all the experts in the field and research thoroughly. So that'll be a discussion, I think, for the different off-season meetings and whatever the plan is collectively that is brought up and adopted, we'll adapt to. And I think that it's important to leave it up to the people that really understand this a lot better than I do.
What kind of input, though, Kurt, do you think coaches could have in maybe affecting some of those decisions or helping guide to some of those decisions?
Again, I don't know what the range of options are. I don't know. It hasn't been something that you delve into significantly right now, but it is something that's important, and I know that they are working on it, and they'll continue to work on it and consult people. And I do think it's important for the experts, the people that really understand all the nuances of it, that get their feedback and collectively try to make the best decision.
Been around the game for a while, though. Is this long overdue, do you think?
You know, I just don't feel like I'm enough of an expert on the topic. I'm totally in support of whatever can help in terms of player safety, and especially anything that has long-term effects. You try to minimize risk whenever you can. I'm in support of that. I just don't feel qualified enough on this topic to really give a lot of insight on it, but I can say that it is important. It's something that we've studied, that we've worked on, we take seriously, and we'll continue to take seriously, and we'll take as much guidance as we can on it, and just always put the players in the best position.
Did you ever have a concussion when you played?
I don't think so, but I don't think so.
Eric, do you think you could accomplish the same thing practicing without helmets? I mean, if it would come to that?
I honestly haven't thought about it, Tony. I think it's tough in a lot of areas. Part of the reason you wear helmets is to protect against guys bumping heads by accident, or I don't know what the right answer is there.
And determined that whatever he had during the preseason, it was some kind of head injury, and he had the neuro exam. Did you go back and figure out if that maybe was a mild concussion?
Well, I know that all the injuries, you know, we have a lot of tests that go into it, baseline tests and comparative tests, and there's a very detailed process and something we've stressed. So I went through the complete process, and we wouldn't put anybody back on the field that wasn't able to be cleared medically to do so. Again, Tony, I gotta, you know, that's something that I'll have more information for you probably either later today or tomorrow.
You expect the
given all your injuries, especially up the middle, do you expect the Chargers to just try to run on you all day like Cincinnati did?
I don't really know what their philosophy is going to be. They've got a lot of good options. Give the ball to LaDainian Tomlinson. Give the ball to Sproles. Throw it to Gates. Throw it to Vincent Jackson. I mean, they're all good. Take your pick.
What would you do if you're the coach of another team? You see your opponent banged up like this.
I've been part of different scenarios like that. Remember a game and where the whole secondary for the other team was beat up. It was all new guys. And I think there was an anticipation offensively that we were going to score a ton of points. And I think we lost like 19-6. Well, then sometimes you face the you just don't know. And I think the important thing is that the guys that do have opportunities to come in take advantage of those opportunities. And I have a lot of faith in Ruben. If Kenyon can't play, whether it's CJ or Corey, both those guys I think will do a great job, and they played significantly throughout the course of the year. Moved different guys inside. Jason Trusnik, never really been a heavy inside linebacker or really a starter full time. He had 10 tackles last week. So I think that's the positive part of this is guys get a real opportunity to step up and show the things that they can do. And I've seen so many times where you're pleasantly surprised by the way that they respond. And these guys all have been working hard, and they've all been studying. And it's another really good lesson for the group that you just don't know when your opportunity will be, and you don't know whether it's going to be for 10 plays or 10 games or 5 games or what it's going to be. But you want to make sure when you get that chance, you really maximize it. And I remember Curtis Martin always tells a story. When he was first got to New England, I forget which backs were in front of him, and he told those guys, he said, you better hope that I never get in. And they all laughed, you know, it was a rookie. And he said he was serious. And I don't know if you guys know Curtis, but when he talks, he's not joking about what he's saying. And he told them, he said, look, better hope I never get in because none of you guys are playing again. And he got in, and none of them played again. But it was a big joke when he first said it. And, you know, sometimes you get that shot and you don't come back.
Do you remember when Antonio Gates came out, basketball, you know, and how you felt about his NFL future?
I don't. I wasn't part of that evaluation. And I know there's been a boatload of trying to find the next Antonio Gates, and it doesn't really happen that often. He had played football at Kent State, so he did have a football background. You know, we've tried all different kinds of guys. We've tried out rugby union player from Australia, one of their best players in New York, basketball player a couple times. There were, can't remember his name now, but he was the heavyweight champion from Ohio State, wrestler. Hadn't played football. We brought him to rookie minicamp a couple years ago. We had him and the kid from, I think it was Iowa. Both of them had been heavyweight champs back-to-back years. Tried them out.
Derek, how would you rate Gates among tight ends or tight ends overall in the NFL? And what's the key to limiting his production?
Well, how would you rate him? He's really, really good. He's really, really good. He's got – they can split him out. And he can run routes on cornerbacks and safeties and do that effectively. He's got a great ability to adjust to the ball wherever it's thrown. And oftentimes when you look at tight ends, some tight ends may have really good hands, but most of the routes that they catch are in stride or clean catches. The tight ends that are able to adjust the balls thrown behind them or thrown high, those are the ones that have incredible value because oftentimes they're in traffic. The quarterback's got to throw it away from a linebacker that may be in front of them or somebody coming down, and their ability to pluck it from different spots. It's one of the things I liked about Dustin Keller when he came out, is you could see on tape the way that he could adjust to the football almost around the whole clock, all the different spots on a clock. And you know, it's easier said than done.
Are there keys to what DBs and linebackers have to do to, and what you guys have to do just as a defense to kind of limit his production?
Yeah, you when you face guys like this, you try to do a lot of things to stop him, and I've seen it all tried with him, whether it's playing nickel where they've got a DB on him. I've seen some teams put their best cornerback on him. I've seen him get jammed up at the line of scrimmage. I've seen him get double teamed from a linebacker and a safety, from two safeties, from, I mean, you see it all. But they can move him around, split him out, put him in different personnel groups. And it's not like the other group of skill players aren't very dangerous for this team. And with Rivers, I mean, he's more than happy to throw it down the field to any of the other guys as well, and they've been effective there.
Corey the other day said that he wouldn't mind playing nose, and he kind of likes it in there. Is he going to rotate with Ruben? And what have you seen out of him in nose?
Yeah, he's worked in there more so throughout the course of the season than in mini camps and training camp, and he's done a nice job. The thing about him is he's a little different than your typical nose because he's got some good wiggle, and you can stunt him and do things like that you wouldn't maybe do with a pure mauler type. So that adds an element of uncertainty for the offensive line, and he has done a nice job in terms of taking on the center, being stout. So that's a possibility. CJ's played in there as well. And he volunteered to do that, and he wanted to try it out, and I thought he's done some nice things in there.
Without Sean, do you just assume that there'll be fewer, like, double teams on the nose and that the ends will get, you know, more linemen?
Typically in a 34 defense, there's only so many ways that you block it, and if you want to run a straight-ahead direct run, you double-team down the nose to the backside wheel linebacker. They fan out. I mean, there's not that many variations of the blocking schemes they get, and they got to account for the front seven to get a hat for hat, so it's just numerically how you want to do it. You can double-team on the end if you wanted to. Some teams do that. Change up is sort of new over the last, I'd say, 4 years.
Two, 3 years ago was a guy that was threatening, you know, almost 2,000 yards and was averaging at least a yard and a half more per carry than he does now. He's at 3.4 right now, and I know that the shelf life of a you know, feature back can be a little bit shorter than some other positions. But do you see, has he slowed down a step? Do you see any differences in Tomlinson now than maybe he did 2-3 years ago?
You know, he's got 8 touchdowns, and dramatic differences. I don't think there's been dramatic differences with him. See him make guys miss in the hole, see him get the edge, see a lot of the same things that you've come to appreciate over the years. And they do mix Sproles in quite a bit, and you understand why. He's a guy that's explosive as well.
Do you think there's a correlation? Not saying a bad season is the cause of injuries, but everyone says injuries lead to a bad season. Do you think sometimes a bad record somehow affects injuries?
No, I think when guys get rolled up on or whatever it is, I mean, it's not a function of what your record is. It's just a function of what happened in the game. And been part of seasons where you may not have had the season you want and haven't had a ton of injuries. And I think a lot of teams deal with injuries throughout the course of the season. It's important to be able to have depth, and almost every team in the league has lost somebody significant and lost other players as well. It's you don't you don't go in planning for it, and but unfortunately, it happens. And when I say planning for it, you're always playing depth-wise, but you're anticipating these are the players that are going to play, and ideally play through 16 games, and then what's your contingency if they can't?